Father, we thank you. We ask for insight tonight. We ask for instruction in our hearts, in your word. We ask that this clarity be established by your word. Help us to appreciate the precious gift of your word, which is given to us for development, for inspiration. We have known, we've had, and we have received that your intention for your word, that it is to us information. You've intended that your word to us will be instruction, will be direction, and will be caution. We ask and receive this walking of your word in our hearts tonight, that our hearts are much more submitted and we are changed. We are helped, both the preacher and the hearer of your word is helped by your word tonight. We ask and receive this in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen.
Hallelujah.
All right, quickly. Amen. Romans chapter 15, which is our text. Romans 15. Verse 4. Has been the week. Right. This is for several things are written. We're written aforetime. We're written for our learning. That we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. So the writers might not have you in mind what God does. The wisdom of God is in his word. He says that we, through the comfort and the patience and the comfort of scripture, says, may have hope. Hallelujah. In James 1, without much ado, we're looking at living by the word, learning properly. In James 1, in verse 18, the apostle said, of his own will begatting us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So I say, I'm born of the world. Then he says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, verse 19, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Hallelujah. Slow to wrath. It is for the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God. That means God's way of doing things, God's method of doing things is not revealed when man is at wrath or angry. Are we together? God's way, that's God's righteousness, God's way of doing things is not revealed by wrath. So he says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. You know, and we said there are things in the mind with respect to the word. Receive with meekness the engrafted word. So when he says the filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, yes, he said it is in the mind. But notice, he then says, you lay apart those and receive with meekness. So the filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness are not necessarily wrong informations. Are we there? Rather, they are the way, the attitude to which those informations are handled with respect to the word of God. It is received with meekness. So he's not really talking about whether the informations are right or wrong, but he's saying informations in your mind should not compete with God's word. Information in my mind, he says, to lay apart the filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. It is received with meekness. So it deals with the attitude. So what I know should mean to make me to weigh God's word as to whether to receive it or not. I told us last week, I said God is a proving God, right? Right? Did you remember? I told you. I said God is a proving God. And I said that to show us that it doesn't matter what you want to hear. God already has what he wants you to hear. So we don't judge God's counsel by our appetite. In spite or despite what man thinks or believes, God's word is God's word, and that's God's counsel. So he has what he wants you to know. He has what he wants you to believe. And don't forget our thought. God wants his word to be that constant influence. And I know you are going to be influenced by many thoughts, information that come your way. But God wants his word to be that dominant influence in our hearts. Hallelujah. On Sunday morning, we had said there's a way to see things. And that's why, or that's what God's word comes to us for, to show us how to see. So it says to receive with meekness. In other words, the information in my mind should never get to a point where it begins to compete with God's word. He says, which is able to save your souls. This definitely is the past, which has been able to save your soul. Right. So in 22, he says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. So it's possible to hear the word alone and not do the word, but it is God wants you to be doers. He wants you to go beyond sitting in the church services. God wants you to go beyond listening up to the MP3 plugged in your ears through the days of the week. God wants you to go beyond scanning through notes or even taking notes of services or sessions that you have missed to catch up what's been taught. God wants you to go beyond the hearing or the listening. He wants God's word to find a place in your activities. Yes, God's word finds a place in my mind. God's word finds a place sometimes even in my words, and those are good. But it doesn't stop there. God's word must find a place in my activities. It must find a dominant place in my activities. It means I must always weigh God's word or weigh my activities in the light of God's word. I must always weigh my activities, my styles, methods. I must always weigh my activities. God will have me weigh my activities in the light of his word. Am I acting out the word in this area? Am I acting out the word, doing it this way? Am I acting on the word? Doing it this way, am I acting on the word? Are we together? Doing it this way, am I acting on the word? So it says, doers of the word and not hearers only, saving your own selves. But if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, is like unto a man beholding his natural face in the glass. He beholded himself and goeth his way, straight away forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, or the law of perfect liberty, as it should run, as it should be translated actually, whosoever looks into the law of perfect liberty, he says, and continues looking, he being not a forgetful hearer, but the doer of the work, this same shall be blessed in his deed. Notice that the writer is saying, look at this. He says, be not hearers only. Are we together? Now, well, I know you can say that there is a form of reading that we can also call hearing. Because whether it comes to you by way of sound or by way of reading, you are encountering information. So we can, you know, expound it and say, well, the reading there has to do with coming across information. But again, I'm saying that to say that the writer did not mention to read the Bible. Definitely, you have to read the Bible. Are we together? Are we together? But the writer was also, when he says, whosoever looks into the perfect law of liberty, whosoever looks into the perfect law of liberty, notice earlier on, he says, don't be hearers alone. So whosoever looks into the perfect law of liberty, we can say, whosoever hears the word. Are we together? Are we together? Notice he says, and continues looking. So can continual looking be continual hearing? Can it be it? Can it be it? Thank you. Are we together? Continues looking. Continual hearing. Now notice something. Notice this. As I'm going tonight, and our meeting is going to be very brief for sure. And this is where I'm going. Notice this. It is whosoever looks into the law of complete liberty. Perfect means complete. So whosoever looks into the law of complete liberty, perfect liberty, and continues looking. Amen? Now, have we agreed that the looking is not necessarily a reading, right? 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 I mean, where you are literally reading something. Not necessarily that. But it simply means a contact with the word, isn't it? So can it include reading? Answer that. Can it include reading? Definitely. Because it has to do with contact with the word. Contact with the word. So it can be, you know, James did not have Bovelojo in his church, right? Where they are recording what Jesus is. Are we together? Are we together? I mean, there was no audio recording, isn't it? All right. So they dealt a lot with writing and what? Speaking. Right? Right? All right. So you can explain their constant interaction with the word as reading. Are we together? And being present to hear. Right? 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 But today, has it increased? Is there listening also today? You know, today there's also watching, isn't it? Watching. Watching. Amen? Now, look at this. What is watching, reading, listening? It is simply exposing the gateways of information to God's word. Interestingly, they are the same gateways through which other informations come to you. The same gateways. The same gateway through which other information comes to you. So it says that you are going to be deliberate about using those gateways, are we together, to assess God's words. Or you are going to be deliberate to allow God's word to assess your mind through those gateways. Notice there's an attitude, which I'm going to talk about later on. I'm going to talk about that attitude later on. When it says to lay aside all filthiness. I'm going to talk about that attitude later on. Are we together? To lay aside. To lay aside. You know, which is a very tricky word. It's a word that sounds like to remove a cloth. To remove a cloth. Actually, stronger than that, to remove, you know, a garment or to is useful to lay aside this physical body. To come out of something entirely. To come out of something completely. So it says to lay aside. So number one, it is what you do. God will not do it for you. It is what you do. Are we together? To lay aside, then it says all filthiness, he qualifies it, calls it filthiness, superfluity of nothingness, and receive with meekness. So it's an attitude that gets you to weigh God's word. If I should do it or not, I'll do it later. So it speaks of, it says, whosoever looks into the law of perfect liberty and continues. You know, your King James says daring, though that was italicized. What you have in the originals is and continues. Continues what? Looking. Continues looking. Are we together? Him not being a forgetful what? Hearer, but a doer of what? It is of the word or of the work. So God's word places responsibility on me. God's word places responsibility on me. So the book of James is a book of conduct. Is it clear? Even though he also spoke about the new birth. But it's a book of conduct. That's why if you read on, you might, you know, in fact, that from chapter 2. In Isaiah it says, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ with what? Respect of persons. Then he dealt with conduct. Up in verse 2, 5, a man comes into you, even unto verse 8, when he says to fulfill the royal law. Are we together? Conduct. By the time you move past that, James also began to talk about Abraham being justified by works. Are we together? Rather than by faith. He's not saying that faith is not sufficient for justification. He's saying that we saw Abraham's justification in his works. So Abraham is justified by faith, but the proof that Abraham is justified by faith is in his works that we saw. Are we together? He ends that chapter 2 by saying that faith without works is what? Is dead. Talking about the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ without godly conduct is unseen. When he says faith without works is dead, there's nothing like dead faith. There's nothing like that. Dead there, he says, as the body without spirit is dead, that is lifeless, motionless, unseen, inactive. So faith without works is unseen, inactive, is dead. So the works there will refer to godly conduct in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Are we together? So James is a book like that. So in James 1, he says, him not being the forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. By writing James 1, and then right from verse 5, he says to ask for wisdom if you need, and then 6, 7, then 8, 9, by 11 to 13, talking about count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, you should already have gotten a glimpse that James is talking about conduct. That was what the book of James is focused on. Yes, just as the apostles' hermeneutics of the Old Testament, they will build their conduct on the new birth and consequently the indwelling of the Spirit. They will give the believer the basis for the conduct. So he mentions the new birth, he mentions the gift of God in the believer, are we together, which makes him perfect, which perfects him. Then he says you are born of the world, 18, then he now begins to dwell on conduct. Are we together? Up into James 5. Prayer and then and all of that. Forgiveness, love work, you know, and all that. So he says a doer of the work in verse 25. So God's word is a work. That puts diligence in front of us. That the man who is going to do God's will be a man who introduces diligence to his knowledge of the word. Are we together? Diligence. Diligence to knowing what God has said and to knowing why God has said it. So, there's that element of diligence. Someone say diligence. A doer of the work. So, in learning properly, I must introduce diligence. Now, I found a handful number of Christians who naturally, in themselves, they are not diligent fellows. I've also found some other people, some other group of Christians who are diligent. You will see diligence in their lives, but not in the world. Not in the world. Like you are not writing now. Are we together? Are we together? Not in the world. You will see diligence in their lives in some other areas, but not in the world. Amen. That shows you something. Look at everyone. Look at me. That, look at this. What God uses. I'll say this and I'll say what I want to say now. That shows you that what makes us to succeed at things. Are we together? Are we together? Has a lot of natural virtues to it. I'm not actually said it the way I want to say it. Let me say it the way I want to say it. The virtue that makes people to succeed, generally, are we together? Are natural virtues. They're natural. So when you naturally are not diligent, is it clear? When you are not a diligent person, it tells you that when it comes to the things of God, you are going to have a challenge. That's why for some people, I want to say some of us, but for some people, you naturally need to fix the diligence issue, or diligence issue, the issue of diligence. Amen? Naturally, you will need to fix what? The what? The issue of diligence. Look at this. What is diligence? Diligence is seeing what needs to be done now and doing it. And in doing it, you do it to the best of your capacity. That's diligence. Diligence is in discerning what needs to be done at the moment. Are we together? Are we together? And doing what? Doing it. And doing it to the best of what? Available capacity. So if you are naturally not a diligent person, it means you will have that diligence challenge. So look at me. The issue is not that God's word is not working. Many times, you are not a diligent person. Are we together? And how do I resolve the issue of not being diligent? There are basic things to do. But I'm telling you, that's even natural. So you find out that not being diligent, you will introduce it to your prayer life. You will find Christians that not being diligent, you will introduce it into attending church services. You are just not a diligent person. And non-diligent people don't make it in life. They don't. They don't. They don't succeed at things. Are we together? They don't succeed. Because success many times implies to follow through. To follow through something. To follow through. So naturally speaking, even outside God's word, people who are not diligent oftentimes do not succeed. They don't. Amen. So James helps us to see that. So I told you the second category of people are now people that are diligent, but not in the world. For those ones, It's a function of conviction. It's a function of conviction. They have not seen why God's word requires this approach. But James is helping us to see that if you have ever put a lot of energy at getting something done before you were able to do it, James is saying God's word is like that. God's word is one that requires diligence. To start with, diligence in attention. And there's a reason why I'm putting that forth. Because that is the foundation. Are we together? That's the foundation. Generally, I'm speaking up from James 1, but the Bible will be so hard. That's the foundation. The diligence at encountering God's word. The diligence of exposing myself to God's word. Exposing myself to God's word diligently. Are we together? Being diligent at exposing myself, my mind, to God's word. Amen. So, doing God's word is work. That's what James is saying. Is work. And the same approach that you put to work that makes you do it well. Is it clear? Is it clear? Is it clear? The same approach that you put to work that makes you to do it well is the same thing that you put into God's word. Only that when it comes to God's word, the fruits are going to be supernatural. Don't forget, heaven and earth always work together. The supernatural and the natural always works together for God's work to be done anywhere, anytime. God put spirit in bodies, call him man. Amen? So, the same effort, attention, mindedness that I put to getting things done. So that's why naturally, you just observe that naturally speaking, people are more productive than themselves when it comes to the things of God. You know that? Maybe you are wondering, why are people more productive when it comes to the things of God than one another? The same spirit, the same word, many times the same church, the same ministry, the same everything. Why are people more productive? It is the level of diligence. So and I said the diligence begins from the amount of exposure that I give my heart. The amount of exposure to God's word that I allow. That is where it starts from. So James says, whosoever looks into the law of perfect liberty and continues. So he consistently engages the source of God's word. Now that shows you something. Look at this. That shows you something. That the continuing looking that James is talking about. Look at that text again. So it's not like I'm just talking and talking. Look at that text again. Let's take a break. Go into the text. Come out of it again. He says, for if any be a hearer of the word, not a doer, he likened unto a man beholding his natural with a glass. So he builds. Now he says, and goeth what? His way, right? Next statement, read it. Forget what manner of man what? He was. He says, but whosoever what? Looketh into the law of every liberty and continues looking. Now, there's doing something there. He says, he beholds himself in 24 and goeth his way and said away what? Forget. So, look at me. Was he, what will make him a doer of the word? Can you text read? Tell the attention. What is going to make him a doer of the word is by him continuing what? Up. Answer. Continues what? I know there's any who. Continues what? I'm still hearing who. Continue to what? Sorry? Eh? You see, it's one of them. Continues what? I'm hearing who. Is that what I say? Continues what? Looking. Amen? Amen? So, what will make me a doer of the word is if I continue what? Looking. Right? Right? Now, what made the other man a hearer only? He beheld his face. Right? 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 Look at me. Did he see his face when he looked? Now, is that what he ought to see? His face? Answer the question. Was that what he ought to see? Yes. So, the issue with not being productive, is it that he had the wrong message, or it was the word he had? So, the fact that I am hearing the truth of God's word does not mean I'll be productive. It's what I do with what I have had. That's the first. Because he saw what he should see in the mirror. But the issue that made him to be a hearer only is that he went his way, according to James, forgetting what manner of man he was. He went his way, forgetting what manner of man he was. The other one, who is a doer, continues looking. Now, here's my question. The continual looking is happening where? Now, look at this. If sitting down like this, can we call sitting down like this to receive an expression of God's word, looking? Yes. It's a kind of looking, right? What about you sitting down with the word to read? Is that looking? What about watching a teaching? Is that looking? Is that looking? So he now says, continues looking. That means there's a looking or continued hearing. There's a hearing or a looking that happens after you get up and leave. The moment you've gotten up and you've left, the moment you leave the service, there is a looking that ought to be going on in your heart. Amen. Straight away, forgetteth what man of man was, and goeth his own way. The goeth his own way is in his mind. The one that continues looking is also something that happens in the mind. So the continued looking, or the continued reading, or the continued listening is what is taking place in your heart after the service. After you have read and you have taken your eyes away from the paper, what is going on in your heart about what you read is what James calls continues what? Looking. Yes, continued looking could also include coming back again to engage that paper, being in service again to listen. But it deals with what is happening in your heart. So what I do with the word of God, are we together? After I have left that point of hearing it, is what affects whether I will act on it or not. I'll say it again. What I do with the word of God after the service Amen. Amen. Let me say it differently. Be the doer of the word. Acting on God's word. Let's come to our subject. Living by the word is built on what I do with God's word after the service. Are we together? Are we together? So the strength to live by the word of God comes to me. The strength to act on the word. The strength to live by the word. The strength to act on God's word comes to me after the service. Now, do I need to be in the service? It is not only advice, it is mandatory. Are we together? But I'm saying that acting on God's word is not automatic because I was in service. The things I go out to do, the way I handle the word of God outside the service, the teaching meeting, the way I handle God's word, my interaction with God's word outside the teaching service is where strength will come from to act on what I had. Where did I hear it? In the service. So is attending service important? Yes. But is it enough? No. Are we together? Do I need to say that again, or you understand what I said? Do I need to say that again, or you understand what I said? You understand what I said? Alright. So, there is a listening, there is a continual looking that goes on in your heart. Is that clear? There is a continual looking that must go on in your heart after the teaching session or service. Sometimes it's a one-on-one counsel. Is it clear? Is it clear? Because sometimes people sit down with the pastor and then we go over things and then you get up to go and do exactly opposite to what was said. If pastor was telling me that, that was yesterday. That was yesterday. Who was there? Were you there? Were you there? You were there. So, if pastor was telling me that yesterday, so I was like, I don't believe you. You will see that people like this, you will count them, you will give instructions, they will get up and go and do exactly opposite what you said. Exactly opposite. So, if I am going to do God's work, if I am going to do God's word, amen, something is clear, there is a continual looking that begins. So look at this. In service, is service a looking? Answer the question. Yes or no. And if you don't know, say I don't know. Is being in the service to hear God's word, is he a looking? Definitely. But there is a looking that starts the moment you step out of service. And that looking has to be continuous. Amen? That looking is what will get you to do the word. So, I look at the word till I've done it. I keep looking at the word till what? I've acted on it. I keep my gaze on the word till it has fruits. So, if the word of God does not produce fruit in me, in an area of my life, it is because there's a disconnection somewhere. Are we together? There's a disconnection somewhere. So you can see that the diligence we are talking about is occurring where? In the heart. To stick with something. That's diligence. So you are diligent with the word. Amen. 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 Let me say this also, then I'll go back to what I said. They'll look at the scriptures, they will close. Are we together? I'm not going to tonight. So look at this. He says, whosoever looks unto the law of perfect what? Liberty. And continues what? Looking. Him not being a what? A forgetful hearer. And, but a what? A doer of what? Of the work. Wait. Be ye doers of what? The word, right? And not what? Hearers only. Okay? 25. Him not be a forgetful what? Hearer. But a doer of the word, of the work. So look at this. When God's word is coming to me, look at this. Look at this. As God's word comes to me, God's counsel in an aspect or the other, as he enters into my heart, what entered your heart is a work that might end up not being expressed. But the way you are going to express it, is it clear? Is it clear? The way you are going to express it is as you focus on the work. That is the God's word, put the responsibility on me. When you hear the word of God, what is entering your heart is a work, a responsibility. It is entering your heart. But the only way it is going to be expressed, because you are going to have a lot of works unexpressed, so you are going to be on foot. So the only way the work is going to be expressed is as you keep your heart diligently on it. That shows you that, look at me, look at me, everybody. I hope that you just listen well. It's fine, you can write. So look at this. Because what I'm just sharing with you is just because of my meditation. That was I just came here to share. I just want to share my meditations with you. So, as I keep saying and saying, and it's not written, I'm just saying because it's my meditation. I've thought, so I'm just revolving until I feel I've emptied the thoughts. Alright, then I'll go tonight. So, when God's word comes to you, what has entered your heart through ear and ear, your eyes and your ears, is a work. But it will not be expressed if you don't keep your heart on the work. That shows you this, that the way you do God's word is the same way you do every other thing in your life. You think about it, then you see yourself doing it, then you do it. The same thing with God's word. The same way you go to fight, because all goes to fight, you have taught it. You have seen yourself fighting. So at that moment, you just pour it out. Are we together? Are we together? I give it out. And the person too, most likely the person too has also seen, you see that? When you also seen it, and then, so as you are scheming, the person, so that scheming, because we're going to see it very shortly, just 10, 15 minutes in the text. Scheming, the way you scheme to get things done, including passing exams, amen. Including what? What else do you do? See,
including it's all about two businesses. The way you want to have the business conversation, negotiation, how you are going to do everything. So the way you keep your mind on an important thing until you act it out, that use of your imagination, that faculty of your heart that is instrumental for scheming till you act it out, God wants it for His word. God wants it. So that's why, look at this. If you are, look at me. So if naturally you are not somebody that gives things much thought, and at the end of the day, when the activity now needs to be acted out, you now ended up doing it shabbily because you didn't think it through. You are going to handle God's word that way. That's what we mean by being a not diligent person. You are not diligent. So the issue is not that God's work is not working. You are not a diligent person. And it's a natural defect. Let me use the word defect, because it's a defect. So the same way I scheme things, the same way, there's a word I don't want to use, because I'm going to use it when I get into the text. And I want it to power when I use it. And it's a word I've used severally already in this teaching. But not today. So the way you scheme things, the way you scheme, you see yourself, you think of something, you think of your disposition, you think of how you want to do it, you see yourself acting it out, and then you eventually do it. God says that's the same way His word is to be handled. Are we together? So like I said, if naturally speaking, you are not somebody, look at this, you do business but you don't take much thought on the business, and the business is not growing and is struggling, that same way of handling things, you apply to your academics and you're on top class and you are failing. The same way of handling things, you approach your relationships that way, and you are suffering and being, you know, they are suffocating. And then the same way, you apply it to, you know, that same attitude is going to get into the world, and you will not be a fruitful Christian in your ministry. You will not be. You will not be. So, but God wants that same diligence. That means you carry it in your head. Sometimes you are bothered about it. You are thinking about it. When things does not go as you planned it out, you are shocked or you are disturbed. You are moved. If there were to be an opportunity to redo it, you will intensify. Right? Right? Because you just know that means the way I did the other time was not enough. Now you will deepen it. The same thing with God's word. That is what we call diligence. So there is a work. There is a work around walking in love. God's counsel around praying and prayer is a work. God's counsel around your devotion to the world is a work. Handling supernatural relationships is a work. The multifaceted counsel of God, which we receive in God's word every now and then, are concepts, they are works being communicated to us. But the only way you are going to express the work is as you keep your heart on it. Now look at this. Keeping your heart on it is what we now call meditation. That is what meditation is. Are we together, church? That is what meditation is. So, having given instructions to Timothy, Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 4, and then in 15, meditate upon these things, give yourself entirely to them. That shows work, consistency,
It's something I mentioned about two sessions ago or three sessions ago, regularity, which is consistency. It shows responsibility. It shows regularity of the responsibility. Are we together? Are we together? Don't forget we said three things with the word. Number one is what? Is what? Huh? You are intentional with the word, right? Number two, you are what? Was that the second thing I mentioned? Number one, you are what? Huh? Intentional, deliberate with the word. Number two, you are, did I say extensive or consistency? Huh? You, did I say consistency or extensive? Eh? You are extensive at it. Then you are now consistent with that extensive handling of the word. What's number one again? I gave you like five sessions ago or six. Number one again, you are deliberate with the words. That is, you are intentional. Number two, you engage the word of God extensively. Number three, you are consistent at it. What you must be consistent at is extensive engagement of God's word. So look at something quickly before we close tonight. We saw the four stories, right? 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 Right. Before then we said, Joshua 1:8 has a regularity to it. Psalm 1 also, verse 2, has a regularity to it. Don't forget I told you that the counsel of the ungodly, right? Right? How did David put it? Blessed is the man who walks not in the what? So I told you it can't be a physical walk, right? Right? Because there is no path that they label it counsel of the ungodly. It's the name of this street. This street is called counsel of the ungodly. No. So blessed is the man who walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor what? Stand in the way of sinners. I mean, there is nothing called way of sinners. Or there is no path, geographical path, called way of sinners. The way there is the same thing he meant by counsel. Nor sit in the seat of the scornful. The seat there is no carpenter that makes any chair. Like this chair is the seat of people God's come. No. And the scornful there is talking about those who scorn at God's word. Those who scorn at God's word. Those who despise God's word. So the seat of the scornful there is the same thing he meant by the way of sinners. And that is the same thing he meant by the what? The counsel of the ungodly. Is the same thing he's referring to. The same thing is referring to. So I showed you that walking in the counsel of the ungodly, standing in the way of sinners, or sitting in the seat of the scornful are activities that happens in the mind. They are activities in the mind. Are we together? The way of sinners has to do with the way they reason. So there is a way the ungodly reasons. There is a way the believer reasons. He uses the word righteous in Psalm 1 for the believer. The righteous. So he says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. By using the word delight and law, he now says, wherein he meditates. So he's talking about what happens in the heart. Your mind. So when it comes to doing God's word, now this is complementary to what we'll do tomorrow morning though, but when it comes to God's word, your mind. And when it comes to mind, we are dealing with information. You think you understand it until what you acted out look had nothing looking like God's word in it. You think you understand God's word
until the fruits, the activities, cannot be traced to God's word. So your mind, information, your mind. And sometimes if the information is not information that comes to you newly, sometimes the information could just be what you have been exposed to. Sometimes the information could be upbringing, parental upbringing. Sometimes the information could be a way of doing things, a method that you are used to. Sometimes the information could be an experience you have had before that has spoken to you. Are we there? But there is the renewing of the mind that Paul talks about in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Renewing of the mind. So quickly, I told you that no one grows by what is had once. And when we saw the parable of the sower, we now saw four soils. Isn't it? Now, in James 1, he says he looks and kept what? Looking. Right? So write it in your notes. James 1, 25. I keep looking. Are we together? In 1 Timothy 4, 15. That's the second thing. 1 Timothy 4, 15. I meditate upon all. Are we together? And give myself. I meditate upon all and give myself to. Put that phrase that way. Number three, that would be Joshua 1:8, right? Right? Well, you don't have to open there. I'll just bring out what I want to say. Joshua 1:8. I need to close now. In Joshua 1:8, it says, if it seeks, be strong and of good courage. Also, these people thou shalt divide among inheritance the land which I swear to their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from me to the right or not to the left. He says that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night. So here is the regularity I said there. Meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe toward to do according to all that is written therein. So number three, Joshua 1:8, right? Meditate on all in order to do. Meditate on all in order to do. Meditate on all. In Psalm 1, what did we see? Psalm 1. It says in verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law does he meditate day and night. So Psalm 1 verse 2, that will be number 4. I meditate in the law day and night. Day and night. Are we there? Are we there? Alright. But I'll give you some scenery studies, but we can't do that now. Very interesting, but we can't do that now. Just stumbled on him actually. So let me give you one more text. Let me give you the sower. Alright. Let me give you the sower. The sower will be what? Look for, right? Mark 4. Look for. Look what? Luke 8, Mark 4, Matthew 13, right? Alright, let's look at the Matthew. Matthew has been where we've been, Matthew 13. I just need the text. I hope it's the Matthew text. It has to be. Matthew 13. Actually, I don't think it's Matthew, but I think it's also Matthew. Matthew 13. I'll know now. I'll not read it. I'll just show you. I'll just tell you it's not there. Then we'll go elsewhere. It's not there. I was right. Okay, just hold your hands to Matthew. Hold your hands in Matthew. Go to Luke 8. I might corroborate something there. Matthew makes sense too. Look at Luke 8. I told you, you have to always combine the three or four accounts to get a compound picture.
in Luke 8. Amen. Now, good. Look at 15. He says, but that on a good ground. So there are four grounds, right? Right? There's one that fell by the wayside, did not understand. One that fell among stones, right? Offenses. One that fell among what? So I told you, when you are offended, Satan is working, right? And the target is not you. The target is what? The word. The target is the ministry of the word. It will collect it clean. You know, you collect bread from somebody. That's what you can do. Or collect biscuits from each other. It will collect it. When you offended, for whatever reason, I told you, the reason for the offenses are not listed. But the goal is the same. And it's a dirty player. It will do anything. It will collect it clean and there's nothing you do. So, offenses, sometimes even oppositions arise. Offended, but that's what the text says. So, it then says, the one that fell among stones, the cares of the world, right? The desires, what I want. What I want is not being granted, so why am I holding on to the world? He calls all of that Satan. Satan. Now, Satan, opposer, Satan, deceiver. So, virtually all the three soils experience the works of Satan. Now, if you look at the last soil, it then says the one in the heart. Are we together? Oh, the good ground, rather. It now says in verse 15, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, did what? Keep. And bring forward fruit with what? With patience. Someone say patience. Alright? In Matthew 13, he simply says, he that received his seed in the good ground, 23, is he that had heard the word and understood it. He heard the word, understood it. Which also beareth fruit, bring forth some 60, 100 fruit, 60 and 30. Now look at this. Notice in Matthew, he says, he heareth the word and understandeth it. In Luke, he says, he did what? Having heard the word, did what? Keep. So Matthew seeks to focus on the fruit of keeping the word. The fruit of keeping the word. Whereas Luke tends to focus on how the word, are we together? Was kept. So Matthew says he understands it, which is the fruit of keeping. Luke says he keeps the word, which is what leads to understanding. But he kept the word, he understands the word. Both accounts says, and brought forth what? Fruit. Did you see that? So, when I keep the word, I will do what? Understand it. Are we there? Or to understand the word, I must what? Keep the word. But the fruit of keeping and understanding is that I will bring forth what? Bring forth what? Fruit. Are we together, church? I will bring forth what? Fruit. So the keeping has to do with meditation. And the fruit he spoke about has to do with transformation. So there is a meditation, there is transformation. Romans 7 2, it says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So it shows you, number one, as another numeral. Number one, God's word is transformative. God's word in itself is transformative. God's word possesses a transformative power. When it meets diligence in the heart of his audience, it will bring forth fruit. God's word has the capacity to do what it says. Amen? If it meets what? Diligence. In the heart of his words is the error. Don't forget that the diligence is that the honest heart keep or kept the word. So God's word is transformative. Means there's a transforming power in the word. Meditation releases the transformative power in the world. Meditation releases the transformative power in the world. Are we together? Don't forget, I said last session, that you determine the soil, not the preacher, and not the word. But the hearer determines the soil. So I determine a good heart for the word. I am the one that makes my heart good for the word. The word good means conducive, good for fruit bearing, viable, a viable soil. So I am the one that determines a good condition. I'm the one that makes my heart good for the word. How? By what I do with the word. I put in my note, I said, obviously, the parable of the sower and the seed is a parable of salvation, but it reveals to us how the word is handled and what affects the word in the heart of its audience. It also shows the diverse kinds of audience that the word of God encounters. So being in service is mandatory, but it's only the foundation. What I do after the service is important. I said, what I do after the service must be an activity that sets my attention on the word in order to understand it. So the James 1, the Joshua 8, the Psalm 1 text, the 1 Timothy 4 text, put consistency to what I do with the word after it is heard. But that keeping of the word is what we call meditation.
Hallelujah.
Let's go back meditation and then I'll close. The word melitao in Mark 13:11 but when they shall lead you and deliver you all, take no thought beforehand what thou shalt speak. Neither do you premeditate. Meditao. Meditao. Premeditate. When you say someone has engaged in a premeditated murder, I'm using that word because generally premeditated, it means it was schemed. So the word I said I was going to use is the word imagination.
Premeditated. He says, neither do you premeditate. It means to imagine. It means to revolve something in the mind. Meditate also implies to take care of something. It is the opposite of being worried. To take care of something. It means that you will look out for opportunities to do it, because you have premeditated it. To look out for opportunities. To seek for opportunities to do it. Okay? In the book of Acts chapter 4, quickly, Luke's writing in Acts 4, in verse 25. Acts 4, 25. He says, when they had heard that, they lifted up their voice with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hath made heaven and earth, and the sea, and all that is in them, all that in them is. Verse 25. Who by the mouth of thy servant David hath said, why do the heathen rage? And why, and the people imagine vain things? The word imagine is melitao. It means to orchestrate. Because when he says, the people imagine vain things, he now says the kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. That's the word Christ. Now, in 27. For the truth against the Holy Child, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. Now behold their threats. So he speaks, they spoke of how the crucifixion of Jesus was crafted out. He says that is a product of meditation. How it was crafted out to plan. And they were speaking from Psalms. In Psalms chapter 2. They spoke from Psalm 2. In verse 1, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. They take counsel. It means to consult. Meditation includes consulting, gathering facts on a statement, or gathering information on the concept to deepen your understanding. It means it is in your heart. Sometimes you suddenly like you find yourself researching for facts. There's something in your mind, then you begin to research for facts for or against. That is imagination. That is imagining. That is imagining. He says, what is the imagination? Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sits in heaven shall laugh. They say, then shall he speak unto them his word and vex them and said my king. So it is meditation. Meditation. Is the Old Testament word Agar. You see Agar in Joshua 1:8. Agar, thou shalt meditate therein. Which also includes to murmur. The negative use of the word agar or meditate is murmuring, or to say, to utter, murmuring. So when I am murmuring, it is a meditation. Is that clear now? I spoke about murmuring last session. It's a meditation. Meditation. In Job chapter 27, Job 27 verse 4. Meditation. Job 27 verse 4. My lips shall not speak wicked words, wickedness rather, nor my tongue utter deceit. That word shall speak is the word Hagar, interestingly. My lips shall not meditate wickedness. So meditation is what you also do with your tongue. Meditate. That means, you know, today you can be on WhatsApp, right? So when I am chatting, what am I doing? I am having, I am meditating. So two people can be meditating on something. Yes or no? Huh? Can we call it deliberation? Can you say we are deliberating? You are meditating on it. The two of you are meditating on the issue. Three people can be meditating on an issue. So meditation is in the heart. It also finds its way into the mouth. What is done with the mouth? In Proverbs chapter 8, verse 7. Proverbs 8, verse 7. It says, "For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips." The writer of Proverbs is saying, I will meditate on the truth, and I will not say abomination. I will meditate. In chapter 15, verse 28, it says, "The heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things." The heart of the righteous studieth to answer. That word studies is the word hagar. It is used for meditation. It means you are careful to carefully place things before you say it. To carefully place things before you utter it. That careful placement, that cautious handling of fact in the mind before it gets out is called meditation. In chapter 24 and then in verse 2, "For their heart studieth destruction," meditation. Notice that the heart and lips are used in the same text. In the same breath that he mentions heart, he mentions lips. So meditation is what happens in the heart or lips, or happens both in the heart and lips. Meditation. What you use your mouth for is meditating. What happens in your heart that fills your heart and gets into your mouth, poured out, is also meditation. Study it. In Jeremiah 48, verse 31. Jeremiah 48, verse 31. It says, "Therefore will I hold for the Moab, and I will cry out for all Moab. My heart shall mourn for the men of Kirs." That word shall mourn is agar. Is used for regret. Is used for worry. Meditation is also used to describe showing unpleasant emotions. Meditation. It's really two words. In Isaiah chapter 8, verse 19, these are the texts that I give you. Isaiah 8, 19. I'll just go over them. No, close. Isaiah 8, 19. Meditation. It says, "And when they shall see unto you, seek unto them, that are familiar spirit, and unto wizards and peeps, that mortar, should not a people seek unto their God for the living to the dead?" So it says, mortar. That word mortar is meditation. In chapter 16, verse 7, mortar, shall ye mortar? In chapter 31, Isaiah 31, and verse 4, Isaiah 31, verse 4, it says, "For thus hath the Lord spoken unto me, like as a lion and a young lion roaring on his prey." Roaring. That word roaring is meditation. Shall meditate. Chapter 33, verse 18. Chapter 38, verse 14. Did mourn.
Isaiah 59 verse 3 has muttered. Isaiah 59, 11 and verse 13. To utter, or to the word uttering. In Psalms, is used for speaking. Psalm 1 verse 2, meditate, agar. 2 verse 1, imagine. Psalm 35 verse 28, shall speak. Then you have the phrase speak it in Psalm 37 verse 30. Psalm 38 and verse 12 also. In Psalm 38 verse 12, again, it says, they also shall seek after my life, that seek after my life shall live snares for me. Listeners for the rather, and they that seek my heart speaketh mischievous things and imagine deceits all day long. The word, you know, speaketh, you know, imagine, is Hagar. Hallelujah. Also, we saw in Psalm 63, verse 6. So, as we close tonight, what do we meditate on? God wants me to meditate on His works. To see His works. Because through meditation, I will act in line with what He does. He wants me to meditate on His works. To see what? His works. He shows you that a life of trust is a product of meditation. He wants me to meditate on healing. So a man can meditate on healing or sicknesses. He wants me to meditate on healing. A man, a believer, can meditate on lack or abundance. He wants me to meditate on abundance. God's provision or scarcity. He wants me to meditate on His provisions. Joy or sorrow. He wants me to meditate on joy and what is joyful. Victory or defeat. He wants me to meditate on victory. Hope or hopelessness. The Lord wants me to meditate on hope. Progress or stagnancy. He wants me to meditate on progress. By His word. So what I meditate on fills my mind. And what I meditate on is what I will believe. That means meditation affects believing. So what I meditate on, notice the route, the sequence. Meditation always aids believing. I didn't say believing aids meditation. Meditation aids believing. So what I meditate on, I will believe. And what I believe will get into my words, actions, and reactions. What I believe will get into my conversation. What I believe will affect my actions and begin to shape my experiences. So what I meditate on will shape my experiences. But you know the sequence now. It will move from meditation to what? My words, right? And conversations. It will move into what? My actions and what? Reactions. As I act in line with what I'm meditating on, it will shape my experiences. It will shape my experiences. Are we together? So anytime I speak from my heart, I'm engaging in this in the form of meditation. It goes beyond thoughts. It goes into the thoughts you share. It goes into the thought that you allow others to share with you. What you meditate on become your words. First of all, your words to yourself. We call it soliloquy, or when you're soliloquizing. You'll find what you believe when you are soliloquizing. It will get into very honest, down-to-earth conversations. That means there's a way you can sustain the conversation at the top, and it's casual, but it's a lie. What you really believe is beneath the waters. It's like when you cook something and then you find oil on top and the main pepper is under. That main substance of the soup is what you believe. There's a way you can be feigning the top, faking it. Oh, I'm fine, I'm this. That's what's on the top. What you really believe is under, and it's a honest and a heart-to-heart conversation that will bring it out. That honest conversation bringing it out, it also functions that way when there is an experience and you are murmuring, it will come out. But that is really what you believe. When you murmur, what comes out is usually the same thing that will come out in a very honest conversation. So you must watch it. Is it sickness or healing? Is it clear? Is it clear? Is it lack or what? Abundance. Is it progress or what? Stagnancy. Amen? So you now know how to rework it. You have to rework it. And it will take time. You have to rework it. So the thoughts you share, or the thoughts you allow others to share with you, they will become your words, first to your own self. Then they will form your conversations. Then I added one, they will eventually become your convictions and find their way into your actions. I don't do this. I don't give attention to gossips. I don't give attention to news that are unpleasant. Are we together? Keep your environment clean and keep your heart clean. No gossips. What did I say? No gossips. No gossips. I took an admonition of Pastor Chris. He says one of the responsibilities of a pastor is to kill that gossip. A member discussing a member in the assembly is a duty of a pastor to kill it. That activity stands directly beneath the move of the Spirit to track it down and to hurt it. So someone who brings gossip to you, now there is gossip and it's different from being accountable or sharing something with you. Is it clear? But you are going to, there's a difference. I won't explore the difference here now, but there's a complete difference. But look at it. The moment what you are saying to me, you cannot say it in the front of the person that you have brought to me. That's gossip. And secondly, the moment the way you are going about it is not in a way that it will help the fellow. That's gossip. Sometimes, the difference between that and gossip is in the details. Why is this detail needed? Why is this particular detail needed? If you want the help, if you want us to help the fellow, you want to strengthen the fellow, or you want us to help the situation, why the mention of this particular part of detail? That's gossip. And God Himself, not only the pastor, God Himself fights it. A pastor, a leader must fight it with everything else, because it will cripple the church. So when somebody brings a gossip to you, he is not only your enemy, he's the enemy of the assembly. And that has nothing to do with godly accountability. Is it clear? Alright, two different things. So quickly, as I close, when he says to meditate, it means to imagine. So God's word, before me, that comes to me when it is taught, is a what? Is a work. Are we there? God wants that work to fill my what? Imaginations. Are we together? Are we together? So look at me, everybody. Look at this. I must. The same way you plan. You plan to meet the doctor. You plan to go to the market. You plan to write an exam in the future. You plan to register for a course. Get into academic admissions. You plan to wear a clothing tomorrow. You plan to pay a bill. The same way you plan diligently, God wants you to plan your acting on the world. Plan it. Plan yourself doing the world. Plan it. Imagine it. Put resources in place that gets you to do the word. Plan your giving. Plan how you always give. Plan your prayer life. Plan how you would always pray. Plan your walking in love. That the moment conversion gets to this point, I will not what? Go further. I will not go further. And look at this. It's not about the moment the conversion gets to this point in my heart, I will not engage it. I will come back at it later on. Plan your walk in love. Plan it. And in planning your walk in love and acting on the word, also plan the other person acting on the word. So think about conversations before you have them, and engage conversations in such a way that you have helped the fellow to act on the word. Are we together? Are we together? I mean, you have grievances, and then someone has done something, and they say, why did you do that? And then he's just saying, are you not doing it? So what do you not mean? Are you calling me a stupid person? Are you not saying I'm lying? Plan the conversation. Plan your reaction to events. Is it clear? Is it clear? Have a plan at it. Towards it. Do you observe that the entire redemption was God's plan? So love work and other aspects of God's word, and I've been majoring on love work since. Severally, love work and other aspects of God's word requires proper planning. Plan it out. What are the things you hear and listen to that corrupts your emotions and incites strife, wrath, anger? Plan how you will deal with those avenues. Are we together, church? It says lying. Plan against lying. Plan against lying. Plan against lying. It says to be filled with the Spirit. It means you will plan towards it. Plan. Plan your acting on the word. Are we together? Are we together? Plan your acting on the word. Plan it. See it. Rejoice at it. Then when the opportunities come,
you will see it as a test and you will pass it. And then you pass it again and again and again and again. So plan yourself acting on the word on every situation. And when you find yourself in moments where you have not replanned, be patient and search out within the counsel of God's word that you have in your heart then what God will have you do. So do not be impulsive. Are we together? As things, impulsivity does not usually end well. It makes you look very stupid. So plan it. You know, some people have grown up in houses and homes where there is a way things are done. The fact that you grew up that way does not mean that is God's word. And many times that childhood formation and all, it also affects and forms our temperament. The fact that you have that personality or temperament doesn't mean that is the word. The believer is born of the word. And as we keep God's word on our heart, aspects and areas where we find it challenging to act on God's word. Are we together? As we keep God's word on our hearts, the more, as we keep God's word on our hearts, the more, we begin to see victory in our walk in those areas. Are we together? Concerning emotions, concerning decisions, concerning desires, I just keep God's word on my heart. Meditate on God's word. Meditate on forgiveness. Meditate on God's word regarding patience, forgiveness. Meditate on healing. Meditate on healing. Meditate on the power of God. Meditate on God's plan for your faith life. Meditate on it over and over. Keep it on your heart. See yourself walking in faith and taking faith-filled steps. You must see yourself. And it will get into your world. So you are going to find yourself telling yourself that when so and so happens, I will do this. When I feel ill, I will say I am healed 1,000 times. That's you planning how you respond to sickness. That's you planning it. When next I have a symptom like this, I will not panic. I will listen to the teaching on liver's authority over sickness and diseases. I'll listen to it fully before I think about drugs. Before I run to taking the drugs, I will stay on that teaching for 2 days. I will listen to it. I will complete that series. I will listen to it again. Or just say, alright, as I take medication next time, I will make sure that every time I swallow medication, I will listen to a teaching of this faculty. If I have to take it morning, day, and night, I would have formed an habit of taking the word of God as though it is medication. That meditation releases the transforming power of God's word into your life, into your mind, into your body, into your situation. Ezekiel Church. Say, I take God's word. Say, I take God's word. I meditate on God's word. I take God's word. I take God's word. And I'm transformed through meditation. Just wait.